This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
My brain feels like it's an NFL Sunday. That always happens after the first 4 days of crazy madness when you have 64 trimmed to 16. And here we sit, taking a deep breath. I don't know how calm it is, but we'll have a couple of days for the men's tournament to regroup and reconvene at their various regionals, and then we'll move forward. Meanwhile, the women's tournament is about to get to the Sweet 16. Half of that bracket is filled out. One more day with the women, and they are also through this first crazy, nonstop, don't breathe or blink or you'll miss something weekend in college basketball. I hope you enjoyed it. But I hope you didn't do nothing but watch college basketball. It's probably not healthy. There may be an indentation on your couch or your favorite chair if you did that, where your bum did not move for the weekend. But the thing is, you can miss stuff if you get up and walk away. This is why I could never, ever live without a DVR anymore. The ability to pause and rewind, the ability to have another channel recording while I'm watching one game so I can go and review what I missed. Maybe not in real time, but a few minutes later on another channel. And so, yeah, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Becomes a little bit easier to manage as we get into next weekend. But I know so many of us love this tournament format because it's all-consuming, which is what I mean about being a little bit like an NFL Sunday where the brain is swimming. Now, we don't have brackets for NFL Sundays, although that might be helpful moving forward. Maybe we can try that. But the brackets are the main attraction this time of the year. Are yours busted? Because we've got some pretty interesting nerd alerts. We'll call them facts, figures, I guess. That's the boring way to describe them. I prefer nerd alerts like this. We did obviously see some upsets in the first 4 days of the men's tournament. We've had a couple on the women's side as well, though they're closer to chalk. But did you know all eight of the top seeds, meaning the 4-1s and the 4-2s, they have advanced to the Sweet 16 for only the fifth time since they started seeding the tournament like this in 1979. All the ones and all the twos. So if you have a bracket that went straight chalk, if you have a bracket that featured all the number ones getting to this second weekend, well, you are sitting pretty. I know that UConn is the most popular number one to not only win the championship, but to repeat as champions. But there are people that believe Houston, who barely survived, Texas A&M, we'll get to that coming up, Houston or Purdue or North Carolina have the goods to run the table. So yeah, if you're riding high with ones and twos, you're in a good position following the first weekend. And you know, the deeper you get into the tournament, the more points you accumulate for the various wins for each of the games. So deep breath. I haven't actually checked my bracket. That's the other thing that happens. I get so busy watching games and taking notes and all that jazz that I really don't have time to check the bracket. Good thing that Hubs is all into it now. He's never filled out a bracket in his life until this weekend. I know. I don't even know what I married. Anyway, he's never done a bracket before until this weekend. And he really would admit to you he had no idea what he was picking. And that's okay. But now he's all into checking the standings nonstop. Every few games, he's on his phone checking the standings from the family bracket, which is really funny. Right now, both my nieces are in the lead. One of them has a pseudonym. Don't ask me why. It's the name she used when we played poker as a family. Just my younger niece is a mess. Anyway, she's got a pseudonym in there, but it's definitely her. The two nieces are right now in the lead. His champion is still alive, though. He's got Marquette. Good for you, Golden Eagles. Way to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to go through each of the regions and the major headlines. But yeah, some pretty stunning moments, some memorable moments in the waning stages of Sunday in March Madness. Love for you to find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A really quiet weekend for me. Away from social media, it was tremendous just to be able to watch basketball and, I should say, enjoy the beginning of spring, except for, holy cow, Saturday on the Eastern Seaboard was a total washout. Lots of rain, lots of flooding, or then up into the New England area, lots of snow. A friend of mine in New Hampshire had another 15 inches of snow. That is just, I am so jealous of that. Anyway, I digress. I don't suppose snow and March Madness go together for a lot of people, but I would be happy to have it.
You got weather.
Right, weather everywhere. Thankfully, it doesn't affect basketball. So we will get to the other one seeds, including the defending champion. But the Houston Cougars had a battle on their hands. It wasn't supposed to be this way, though. Up 13 points late in the second half against a game Texas A&M squad that showed fight and grit and toughness and a strategy. Like, put Houston on the free throw line. Oh my gosh. I'll get to this momentarily, but did you see how poorly these two teams shot from the charity stripe? This is probably not even a game if one or both of them makes their free throws. But I'm looking at you, Texas A&M. So, free throws aside, the Aggies take advantage of Houston's inability to hit a shot or hit a free throw down the stretch and go on a run that puts them in position. But still, needing magic with mere seconds to go in regulation.
Roberts fronts. Radford calls the break. No timeouts. Bounce in. Up top, Garcia for three. Got it! Anderson Garcia, his ninth May 3 of the year, forges an 86-0 tie. The red light is on. We'll have overtime. This place is in stunned disbelief. Everyone standing, some hopping and celebrating, some with hands on the back of their heads, bewildered, spinning around, staring at one another. What did they just witness? The one seed, pushed to the brink, has blown a 13-point lead.
Un- unbelievable. And what a great call from John Sadak on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. If you have not seen this inbounds play, it happens with about a second and a half to go. In fact, I'm not even sure it's that much. Precisely 1.2 seconds, if I remember correctly. And Anderson Garcia, who is not a three-point shooter, he's not even made 10 triples the entire season. And they stack up for an inbounds play. And essentially, with that little time remaining on the clock, whoever gets the ball has to shoot it. He's in the back of a stack. I mean, this is a forward, by the way, not a guard. He's in the back of the stack. Somehow, when Houston disperses to follow the various three-point shooters, he is all alone. And I mean, there isn't a guy within arm's length of him. The ball comes into him. He's on the three-point arc. He has to launch it immediately. Anderson Garcia with one of those moments that qualifies for that tournament-ending video, one shining moment.
Roberts fronts. Radford calls the break. No timeouts. Bounce in. Up top, Garcia for three. Got it! Anderson Garcia, his ninth made three of the year, forges an 86 all tie. The red light is on. We'll have overtime. This place is in stunned disbelief. Everyone standing, some hopping and celebrating, some with hands on the back of their heads, bewildered, spinning around, staring at one another. What did they just witness? The one seed pushed to the brink has blown a 13-point lead.
I was just trying to do the little things, and that was something that I thought that I would be able to do to help the team.
Amazing moment for Anderson Garcia. Amazing. This is the stuff that we love about March. As he hits the shot, and you can hear the buzzer behind him, so the ball doesn't even go through the hoop until after the buzzer sounds. And he falls backward onto the court, arms behind his head. His teammates come rushing off the bench. There's a mad scramble. Incredible moment. Except for the Houston Cougars fans who watched A&M go on a 17-5 run in the final couple minutes to force overtime. Yeah, this wasn't a slow burn. This happened in the blink of an eye. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So they go into overtime, and because of how difficult the offense, because of how difficult Houston had been, well, the difficulty that Houston had faced in the Texas A&M defense, but really not just that. They'd gone cold. They got tight. The free throws, the pressure, all of that mounting. And so you felt like the Cougars desperately needed a shot to go in to start overtime, which they got from Emmanuel Sharp. He hit a three. That got the Cougars back on track to start the extra period.
Chad inside of midcourt, letting the clock wilt. 2:33 clock rolls. 10 to shoot. Ball screen left. Roberts. He goes right. Snap back door. Wilson reverse right hand. Good. 93-87. A thing of beauty. 35 seconds overtime. Up two. Shed hops into the paint. Floats it up right hand. Got it. 20 for Shed. 4-point Houston lead. Steams up the floor. Snaps left corner. Hefner for three. No. Rebound Hefner. Kick to Taylor. Three ball. He lost it on the way up. Floater mid lane. It's waved off. He misses and Houston holds on. The one seed to the brink goes to overtime after blowing a 13-point lead and holds on 100-95. The Cougars top Texas A&M. Houston is back in the Sweet 16.
It still blows me away in this day and age is in our top 10 players over the last 10 years, we've only had two kids transfer that was in our top 10. Now, we had some kids that didn't get to play much, and they transferred, but they weren't in our top 10. We've only had two in 10 years. That tells you a lot about the kind of culture that we've built and the kind of kids that we've recruited. And that allows us not to give in.
Well, they had to fight it out, go toe-to-toe. At times, it was more like a rock fight than it was a basketball game. But you hear the voice of Kelvin Sampson on his team's culture and determination. And they needed all of that after getting pushed to the brink by Texas A&M. But here's the thing. As much as I value a team that's physical and tough on defense, as much as I value a game where defense matters, did you know that Texas A&M had 45 free throws? 45 free throws. That's insane. Like, that's ridiculous and insane. That kind of game is not at all enjoyable to watch. And of those 45 free throw attempts, I should say, the Aggies make 29. 29 of 45. They left 16 points on the free throw line in a game in which they lost by five. It wasn't a whole lot better for the Cougars, who missed 9 free throws of their 30 taken. But they end up with nearly 200 points. It's just that between the two teams, they took 75 free throws. That's excruciating at times. Either one of these teams makes their free throws or makes even, I don't know, 85%. And we're not into OT. But then we get deprived of Anderson Garcia's game-tying triple, which was incredible. 4 different Houston starters fouled out. They get into overtime, and Kelvin Sampson can look down the bench and see 4 of his starters next to him. Jamal Shedd, he was able to contribute 21 points and 10 assists. And yeah, raves about Coach Sampson.
He only gives credit when it's earned. He makes you work for it. And, you know, he always tells us, trust your work. So I think that's the biggest thing I've learned here, is that if you put the work in, he'll give you the opportunity to show that you've put that work in. And he has the ultimate trust in us, and we have the ultimate trust in him. He's the best motivator I've ever been around in my life, best coach I know in America. Hmm. And, you know, when a guy like that trusts you, your confidence level is through the roof.
I remember Kelvin Sampson from my days covering Oklahoma or working in Norman, Oklahoma, where OU calls home. And he took one of those OU teams to a Final Four and then went on a sojourn, was at Oklahoma for a while, went to Indiana where he ran afoul of the NCAA with recruiting violations. If I remember correctly, it was mostly too many text messages or phone calls or texts and calls when he wasn't supposed to be reaching out to recruits. Then he went through the NBA and had a few assistant coaching jobs in the association before he returned to the college bench and has been there at Houston now for quite a few years. He definitely does have a very specific culture. And it's a winning culture. It's tough, though. He is no nonsense. As for A&M, it's a painful way to lose, especially after they put so much effort into getting all the way back. But, man, this is who the Aggies are, according to their coach, who's a friend of Kelvin Sampson, Buzz Williams.
I think that it's so hard to live, to practice, to coach, to play and be committed to something regardless of result. And I think our group was steadfast, whether it was an injury, a suspension, hard schedule, winning streak, losing streak, on the bubble, not on the bubble. I think regardless of result, they had great belief and ownership in what we did.
You could tell these two teams were all in. Heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears. But it's that time of the year where there is the thrill of victory and there is the agony of defeat. That is the beauty of the tournament. If it was easy, everybody would survive to the Sweet 16. All right, coming up, we had all four one seeds survive to the Sweet 16 and all four two seeds who make it to the next weekend. We will check in on the defending champions who were in Brooklyn at Barclays Center, along with Duke, who, if you remember, fizzled out toward the end of the regular season, even into the ACC tournament, did not play its best basketball. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page, too. Hope you enjoyed the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Barnheiser, right wing three. That's too strong. Clinging another rebound. Ahead to Newton. Finds Diarra. Go to the rim. Baker. Good. And a foul is called. It's a runaway in Brooklyn. Caravan, three straight on. It's good. Just the second three of the game for UConn. It comes from Alex Caravan. And the Huskies, a 23-point lead with under a minute to go before halftime. Diarra, jump pass out of the right wing. Newton, a lob, and Johnson lays it in. And UConn, a 59-32 lead with 11:14 to go in the second half.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Happy Sunday night. Happy March Madness. It was nutty over the weekend. A little something for everyone, whether you're a fan of the Ivy League and Yale, who finally ran out of gas on Sunday, or you love the double figure seeds who had their moments in the sun. All four of the number one seeds advance, but it wasn't easy. Unless you're UConn, the Huskies look dominant, and a good portion of their game is based on defense, of course, also based on rebounding, but the inside presence with Donovan Clingan and some of the other guys, they're much more of an inside-out team, or they can be. They don't have to be. But when you shoot 3 of 22 from beyond the arc, well, you better hope your inside game is locked in. And that's exactly what they had. 52 points in the paint in reaching the Sweet 16, getting by Northwestern relatively easily. Chris Carino with the call on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dan Hurley going to have to work hard to find something wrong.
Just really attack them in the paint. Obviously, the injuries, you know, that they've sustained during the year, you know, changed the total complexion of that team. That team, you know, with those two guys that they lost, we're not playing them today. They're probably a 5 seed or a 6 seed. So, we're obviously, you know, thrilled with the performance. And to get that separation, you know, while going 3 for 22 from three, You know, a handful of those were contested, but obviously we didn't shoot it great. And to still, you know, win by that margin, obviously it spoke to our, you know, our defense and obviously the 20 assists on 29 field goals.
It wasn't our night tonight, but every team except for one is going to feel like us, you know, in the NCAA tournament. That's what it's about. You know, and unfortunately for us, that night was tonight. We ran into a team that outplayed us, a better team, and we move on. But it doesn't diminish at all what these guys have meant, what this team has meant, not only to me and our staff, but to our program.
That's the voice of Chris Collins, the head coach at Northwestern. Not sure if you saw this game or saw his face. But if you do and you're my age, will you recognize, hey, that's Doug Collins' son, the former NBA head coach, and he was there in the stands. So, yes, UConn reaches the Sweet 16. Tristan Newton with 20 points and 10 assists. And did you know this makes the Big East 6-0 in the tournament? So only three teams get in from the Big East, which has been a basketball conference for most of its existence. Marquette also surviving into the Sweet 16, so we'll talk about Marquette coming up. But yeah, you wonder, with the early exit of, say, Virginia, or some of the other teams that got in ahead of these Big East teams, and the coaches making a big stink about it on the heels of Selection Sunday, Seton Hall not in, St. John's not in, wondering why the Big East didn't get more respect. Well, they're earning it by going 6-0 and having three of the teams still standing in the Sweet 16. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, not sure if you took our poll, which number one seed is the first to exit in the men's NCAA tournament so far? None of them. I think your top choice was Purdue, if I remember looking at the final results of the poll, or pretty close to the final results of the poll. So that game took place in Brooklyn, and coming up in, say, 10 minutes, we'll have a guest from the New York Post who was there, posted up at the Brooklyn Regional following these games, which included the Duke Blue Devils. And they had no real trouble getting by James Madison. Now, James Madison, JMU, a 12 seed, the one that upset Wisconsin on Friday, but it seemed like Dukes, the JMU Dukes, were tired, overmatched, and Duke finally is back on track after what we saw at the end of the regular season and then into the ACC tournament, dropping back-to-back games. I didn't love how they were going into March Madness, but certainly helps when you have a freshman, Jared McCain, go 8 of 11 from beyond the arc, a Duke NCAA tournament record, 30 points for Jared McCain. And he started early and he hit often.
It's the best feeling in the world when you know the work you put in is showing up on the court, especially in such a big game like this, to go to the Sweet 16. For these types of games, you just want to win. And I want to do everything I can to win. And tonight, if that was making shots, making threes, and then that's what it was. So I'm just grateful to even have this opportunity to go to the Sweet 16.
When you have a guy like Jared McCain, you know, he broke the Duke record today for threes in NCAA tournament. We've had some pretty good shooters here. And so to break that record with eight, I'm sure he's mad at me for taking him out early.
He actually spent 7 minutes on the bench at the end of this game. So we're not talking about needing all 40 minutes to hit this record. But a lot of the Blue Devils were locked in, 14 of 28 from downtown. So good for Jared McCain and for Duke, and now John Shire's club seemingly back on track. And this, again, despite the way they finished the regular season with the loss to North Carolina and then getting bounced in the ACC tournament by the still red-hot NC State Wolfpack.
This game can humble you. I don't care if you're a coach, if you're a player. You know, our last regular season game, the ACC tournament game, you have to have great humility to understand what you have to do better. And clearly all of us had to do something better. And, you know, there's no replicating the work you need to put in. And the silver lining in that was it gave us a week to work on ourselves, to look in the mirror, to not listen to what people may think or we're done.
I appreciate that. John Shire saying the silver lining is, yeah, we weren't still playing heading into the final weekend of conference tourneys, but we had a chance to really reflect, mentally get ready, and you could see they had fresh legs too. So the Duke Blue Devils, Duke takes out the Dukes of JMU. But what a neat run for the 12 seed. Remember, had the big upset over Wisconsin on Friday.
Difficult night for us. And, you know, multiple reasons. You know, when things come to an end, it's never a good feeling. You know, these guys put so much into it. It was an absolute pleasure and honor to coach them the entire season. Just such a great, great group of guys. And they love each other. I love them. I'll do whatever I can for them the rest of my life.
That's tough. Tough. These runs for some of the Cinderellas, they're so much fun. They take everything they've got, and we get all sucked in. And, well, eventually we could see another Cinderella win the NCAA tournament for teams like Yale and James Madison. At some point, right, they come to an end. Getting to that second weekend is huge. Duquesne, these are all teams that won in the first round but weren't able to push through into the Sweet 16. Grand Canyon being another 12 seed that was able to eliminate St. Mary's in this first weekend. All right, coming up, a conversation with Zach Braziller of the New York Post, who was there in Brooklyn for the weekend. What did Dan Hurley have to say about the way the Big East was handled by the selection committee and the statement the Big East has made to this point in the tournament? On Twitter.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After Hours CBS on our Facebook page, too. We'd love to connect with you.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Coach Dan Hurley's son, Andrew, holding on his right hip. And the UConn Huskies, the number one overall seed in the tournament, looking to repeat for the first time since 2006-2007 Florida Gators. They are going to the Sweet 16.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The defending champions and UConn Huskies are into the Sweet 16, and they continue to dominate, but not the only top seed that has looked really good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, you check out your brackets, and there are all four ones and all four twos still remaining. And for the UConn Huskies, they take on San Diego State coming up next weekend in Boston. So that game will be on Thursday. You can imagine that the Huskies will have a large contingent of local fans who make that trek to Beantown. So that's a 1 and a 5. Elsewhere in the East, it's 2-3. All right, so here's what you have in the East. A 1-2-3-5. In the West region, North Carolina survives, as does Arizona. Now, Clemson being the outlier there, really good battle against Baylor on Sunday. So it's a 1, a 2, a 4, and a 6, because Alabama also rallies past Grand Canyon, although 20-plus points below their scoring average. So the Crimson Tide did run into a game opponent in Grand Canyon. A 1, 2, 4, and 6. All right, moving over to the Midwest, in the lower right quadrant, you have Purdue as the number one, and we'll talk about the Boilermakers, their search for redemption. A 1, a 2, a 3, and a 5. So Gonzaga being the lowest seed that's still alive, and boy, did Gonzaga look sharp against Kansas. And then moving into the South, and here's the part that kind of blows me away. When all the dust settles, you have just one double-digit seed still standing. I don't even have to tell you. If you weren't paying attention over the weekend, I give you three guesses. You know it's not James Madison because we just talked about the Blue Devils ousting the Dukes. So Houston and Duke will play in one of the semifinals from the South region. That's a 1-4. Marquette is a 2. So Marquette outlasts Colorado. And then you've got, I don't want to call them the little engine that could, because that's not fair. They are an ACC team, but it is pretty incredible. After 5 wins in 5 days to capture the ACC tournament and the automatic bid. Remember, the North Carolina State Wolfpack would not be in this field if not for winning the auto bid out of the ACC, which ended up with, gosh, where's my list? Was it 5 teams in the tournament? And it's Virginia that really took a lot of flack for getting in, of course, falling just so miserably out in the first 4. But here's NC State now. 2 more games. This is now 7 consecutive wins after ending the regular season on 4 straight losses. They've completely turned it around, though pushed into overtime by the Grizzlies of Oakland. You want to talk about true Cinderella.
Now Townsend, left baseline, finds Golke. Golke steps right, 3-pointer, good! He drills the 3-pointer and Oakland is within 1. Golke now with 6 3-pointers and 19 points. They're playing catch on the outside again. O'Connell and Morsell trying to get it to Burns. They do. He gets the double team. Kick to the right corner. And Taylor drills a 3. The inside-out game is back in the overtime for NC State. They lead it by 5. This one is going to end. And it's going to end with a 6-point win for the Wolfpack. 5 straight wins in the ACC tournament. 2 wins here in Pittsburgh. The school that coined the phrase survive and advance has done just that. North Carolina State is going to the Sweet 16 with a 79-73 win over the Oakland Golden Grizzlies.
That's Scott Graham on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Yeah, 9-0 run in overtime as the Wolfpack find an extra gear and reach the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2015.
Oakland is good, as good as advertised. I mean, Greg's done a great job with that program. And, you know, this is a tough, hard fought, you know, feel like a boxing match.
I don't think you can play harder than we play. I really don't. There were more floor burns, more dives on the floor, more. I think we played pretty smart too.
That is my kind of basketball. Floor burns and marks on the floor and bruised up knees. That's how I used to play. I love that for the Oakland Grizzlies. But ultimately running into another double-digit seed. Had a little more experience, a little more battle-tested. It doesn't make it any easier though, right, for Oakland? Remember Jack Golke had the incredible shooting performance in that first game in which they announced themselves by beating Kentucky.
Sad thing about this whole thing coming to an end. Obviously losing sucks, but this group of guys, it's the closeness of everyone and knowing this whole group won't play basketball together again is going to sting for a while.
An 11 versus a 14 for a shot at the Sweet 16. NC State moves on, and it's only by 6, and it happens in overtime. But that's it. Would you prefer it this way? Or do you wish it was total chaos moving forward in the tournament? Honestly, it's a lot of chalk. Again, all 4 ones, all 4 twos. You've got a 3 in there. You've got a 5 in there. You've got a 4 in Duke. In Alabama is another 4. Really does become top heavy moving into the Sweet 16. What do you think? Would you rather have it this way, where your bracket is a crapshoot? Or would you prefer to see the best teams in the country, at least according to the selection committee, go toe-to-toe? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. There were a bunch of blowouts over the weekend. But we also got some great overtime games, some battles, some memorable moments. I think March Madness is good for that either way, whether it's Cinderellas that are still dancing in every region. And I'm not even sure you can call NC State a Cinderella. They're a team that's gotten hot out of a Power 5 conference. But what they've done for Kevin Keats, the head coach, is really impressive. But to label an ACC team Cinderella feels like a waste of the glass slipper. That's not accurate. Just because of the competition that the Wolfpack face throughout their conference. We talk about this in, say, the Western Conference in the NBA, where you run into so many other good teams, teams that are trying to make the playoffs themselves, and there's so little margin for error that you could easily lose 3-4 games in a row before you know it. Because everyone is so tight and most of these teams have something to play for. Well, that's the case with the ACC. But I love it. I love that Kevin Keats was on the hot seat and now his team has won 7 games in a row. The only double-digit seed still standing as we get into the Sweet 16, the second weekend for the men. As for the women, there were also some major blowouts and then some games that went down to the wire. LSU trailed at halftime against Middle Tennessee State. This is the defending champ on the women's side. And a lot of controversy around Kim Mulkey, the head coach. That is pretty standard for her. But in this case, she's using her platform to tell her version of the story. It's a beef she has with a reporter who she believes is trying to do a hit job on her. We can get into that at some other point on the show. But whether or not that was a distraction, she says no way before her team got onto the court against Middle Tennessee. But it was a slow burn for Angel Reese, who finished up with a double-double, the 20 points, the 11 rebounds, but didn't get there without some struggles. And the team, yeah, they looked lethargic. They didn't seem to have the same energy as Middle Tennessee. They're running around, not real efficient, not looking like the team that you expect from them, expect from her, a team that's real disciplined. But ultimately, Angel Reese, who's one of the best players in the country, she was able to kind of find her stride. They got real tough on defense, and that sparked them.
I didn't want to let my team down. I think we were down at that point. And, of course, when anybody tells me that they need me, I want to be there and do whatever it takes to win. And I had another off night scoring, but I was just doing whatever it could to just help the team, getting steals, getting passing lanes, help my point guard. And, like I said, I don't want to let my team down. I didn't want this to be my last game being here in a PMAC. So I just did whatever it takes to win. And me and Coach have that kind of relationship where she can get on me and tell me, like, and talk to me, like, I need you, and give me that encouragement that I need.
We're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do? Absolutely not. My kids didn't even know I said that yesterday. That team's not involved in this. They were in shock when they saw all that on the internet. I don't take that stuff to my team. Was that the question, or did you have a second part?
Kim Mulkey. Now, she kind of started this herself, or at least took it public. Again, we'll get to it later in the show. But yeah, Middle Tennessee was up by 9 points in the third quarter and was about to make it double figures. Angel Reese tripped over a teammate on a layup. She went crashing to the court, and the Middle Tennessee offense was able to get the breakaway going the other direction. But missing that shot, and almost as though that was the final straw for the Tigers, who realized if we don't get our rears in gear, this dream of getting to the Sweet 16, trying to defend our title, is about to go up in smoke. And so they do rattle off 10 straight points. They take the lead, and then you could just see the Tigers with their swagger back, including Angel Reese. She was waving bye-bye to the crowd and all the gestures that she's got. She's definitely divisive, and you can see why LSU loves her. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.